It's time for Fairbanks Foodies, a look at everything food-related in Fairbanks. Fairbanks Foodies is brought to you by Hoodoo Brewery, Bobby's Downtown, Quality Food Sales, and the Fairbanks Community Food Bank. Now here's your foodie host, David Pruse.
Good evening, Fairbanks. Thank you for tuning in on this wonderful Saturday night. We air this program between 5:30 and 6 on Fairbanks Foodies. We look at foods we can make, restaurants to review, different recipes to try, beverages we can make, things you can do with food, your friends, and having fun. Today,
we're going to hit all the marks today.
That's Joni Skirlbred. Joni, how you doing?
I'm fabulous.
Now, Joni, I lost a bet to you.
This is a winning show.
I lost a bet to you. We have a food bet on when the Nenana Ice Classic, when the ice goes out. Mm-hmm. And our day was May 2nd. At noon. And I had the before, you had the after.
Yes.
And it went out about, what, May 10th?
Finally, yes.
Yeah, so you won, and we're going to talk a little bit. In the beginning of the show, we're going to talk about...
So the bet was that loser had to do what?
Make an incredible meal.
Yes, for the winner, and we were going to eat it on the air.
Yes, so we're doing that now.
Yes.
Now, well, actually, we've had the meal already here in the studio because...
I'm just kind of sad it's over.
Yeah, but let's... So what I did for you is I made a surf and turf plus a starch from Italy. So what I did for you is I cooked a steak, and I did not do it on the grill. I went to Tommy G's, got a couple of his filet mignons, and we started there. And what I did is I took the steak in a nice skillet, and I seared it on each side for about 2 minutes.
It was perfectly
seared. With canola oil. Canola oil has a high heat. Then I put it in the oven for 20 minutes at 350 degrees. When I pulled it out, I had in another skillet, nice skillet, I had butter melted. In the skillet, I had shallot, garlic, and thyme. And I did a butter bath on these things for about 3 minutes aside on each of the steaks, each side of the steak. Put it off to the side. I also made a nice cognac peppercorn cream sauce as a nice covering for the steak. Then, since it was a surf and turf, I made you an actual shrimp scampi, which is made in a wine or a champagne. And I used a nice white wine from the Rhone Valley, German Rhone, and butter. And then I put in there some shallot, some garlic, and some tarragon. And that's what I cooked it in. And then for the starch, I did a nice pasta in an Alfredo sauce.
Pasta made where?
Montana.
Montana's got some good pasta.
Yeah, it's from a private maker there. And so you had the surf, the turf, the starch. And then I served it with the 30-year-old Tawny Port.
The piece de la resistance. Yes.
So that steak was from Tommy G's. I served it on a cutting board for you with a knife, but you almost didn't need the knife, did you?
No, that steak was perfect.
Perfect, medium rare?
Yes. Real napkins.
Yes, fine.
He didn't
napkins.
Scrimp on anything.
No.
The he even brought a port glass to drink out of.
Your port was in a nice
cut glass.
Yes, cut glass port glass.
It's beautiful. Yes, the whole meal. Debt is more than paid.
But
I came out not only the winner, I came out a big winner. Yes.
I'm going to so kick your backside next year. But you made me a wonderful meal last year.
I did.
Yeah. And so, yeah, paybacks are in kind.
You're very gracious, loser. I have to say, very gracious.
So what did you think of the cognac peppercorn cream sauce over the steak?
You know, it really added a whole other dimension. Mm-hmm. To the flavor profile of that meat. You know, I mean, like I could taste the butter,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, that sauce, you didn't overdo it.
No.
You know, that's the thing. When you put sauces or you put seasonings on stuff, most people tend to over-season it. And the star is supposed to be the meat. And it was. But that sauce was just an amazing compliment.
Here's the recipe for the sauce. 1/3 VSOP cognac. And you light it. You burn it off. Mm-hmm. 1/2 cup of cream, heavy cream. 1/2 cup of... beef bouillon, beef base.
Oh.
Yeah, and then I put in 2 tablespoons of Liam Perrins,
mm-hmm.
2 tablespoons of teriyaki, 2 tablespoons of peppercorns, black peppercorns, and 2 tablespoons of a mustard such as a Grey Poupon, a Dijon mustard.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I do is I cook it down from... to 1/3. It starts out as, so you have a very rich, deep cream sauce. And the you cook with the peppercorns in there so they soften.
Mm-hmm.
And then they expand their taste into the cream sauce. And you put that off the side and wait for your steaks to get done. Then you do that and boom.
It really, really went well with
it. I brought it over here for you to taste, you know, in the studio. And Before we came on the air, we had to do that.
That recipe is your invention?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to give it a Fairbanks name.
I'll figure that out.
It could be Chena steak sauce.
It's a peppercorn cream sauce. It's made for steak. It is made for steak.
Yes.
And, I've been making that sauce now for about 10 years.
Mayor's sauce supreme.
We could say that. We could say that. But then you're looking at your shrimp scampi, and that had both butter and wine, and then mm-hmm. the shallots, and that was the last thing that was cooked before I brought it over here, because that's gonna, you know, you don't want to cook it too fast or have it lingering too long after you cook it.
I was impressed because shrimp is very difficult to do, and usually you had to get it over here. It was still warm, and it didn't taste like rubber. You know, it was sweet, it was succulent, the texture was perfect.
I'm very
impressed that you were able to do that and get it here like that.
And still have it moist.
It was.
Not tightening up.
Yes, it was. It was. And it was all the seasonings complemented the shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't take over.
Diced tarragon.
Yeah. You know, tarragon's a pretty strong herb.
Yeah.
And it didn't take over. It actually just enhanced the flavor of the shrimp.
Yeah.
Which that's what made it. You're really good at that.
That was a fun dish to make. And then the final one was the pasta, and oh man, just making the Alfredo sauce. I love doing that. And what's that one spice that you found in it?
The nutmeg. I had nutmeg. Yeah, well, I had a hard time picking it out. I guessed cardamom.
Yeah, that wasn't there yet.
It was the nutmeg.
Yep.
And it really was just the right amount. It was like that little accent.
Mm-hmm.
When you put it in your mouth, it would hit, and then it was like, what is that? Yeah.
You know, it's interesting in restaurants in town here. The first restaurant we had was, the Tokyo?
Mm-hmm.
From 1903?
Yes.
And that was run by Tijiro Wada.
Yes, he was the cook on the boat when the Lavelle Young landed here with E.T. Barnett. And, you know, I'm not sure if
Tijiro... So he stayed. When he stayed.
He did. But I'm not sure if Jujuro was in the employ originally when they got here, if he was in Barnett's employ, or if he was in the employ of Captain Adams, the Lavelle Young was being operated by Captain Adams.
Yeah.
Some of the people on the boat decided they wanted to stay, and they asked Captain Adams to release them. And so they stayed, and some of the people that were in Barnett's party took one look at this swamp on the Chena River and said,
left.
I am out of here,
yeah.
And they left. So there was like this mixing of these two workforces, and I'm not sure where Jujiro Wada fell into that, but thank goodness he was here. And he himself is just an amazing, amazing early Fairbanksan.
You know, it's interesting, the history of restaurants in Fairbanks. We've always been an international cuisine.
Always.
Always.
Yes. Yes.
You know, the first restaurant, Tokyo restaurant.
Yes.
And then we went Mexican restaurant.
We had Mexican restaurants. They sold tamales and chili con carne and yeah.
Yeah.
Usually those were related to a saloon.
Yeah.
You know, you could go and eat at the saloon just like you can today in a bar. You can get food in a lot of bars.
Then we had Asian restaurants. In the beginning, you know, from 1903 to 1910, Asian restaurants, Mexican restaurants.
Yes. And, you know, then there were restaurants that you could, you know, you could buy. They had full menu fares, the arcade, mm-hmm. the model, you know.
So when you cook at your house, what do you like to do? What's your style? I'm all over the board. What's your go-to?
Well, my forte is open the fridge, see what's there, and throw it all into a skillet. And I am the queen of one skillet wonder meals.
Okay.
And I
don't think you're alone at that.
I can walk in. I don't need a recipe. I can walk in and I can pull stuff off of a shelf, and I can throw something amazing together. And you would look at that shelf and go, "There's nothing on that shelf to eat." And I'll make something out of it.
Yeah.
The only thing I made that I ever really got stuck trying with limited, I like the challenge of having a limited situation to work in. Mm-hmm. But I had one that was a dismal failure that I was not very proud of. And that was when I made chicken and mashed potatoes and gravy. And I realized there was no flour. And it was at the mine. And all we had was Krusty's pancake mix.
Oh, boy.
Do not use that to make gravy.
No.
It was cookies gravy.
It was what?
It tasted like cookies.
Oh, God.
It was not good. But most anything else I've made has turned out quite edible. And I just, you know, after you do that, you know what flavors go with what flavors. And you know which ones not to mix. And so, yeah, and I just like the challenge of that. I mean, I can crank out anything, I think.
You know, I'm all over the board. In the winter, you know, I really love cast iron.
In the summer,
you know, I'm out on the deck, you know.
Yeah.
Like you were mentioning to me earlier before on the air, you know, you're at my house and I have 5 cooking implements out on the
deck.
You do. You know, gas grill, big green egg, the pellet smoker, the regular smoker, the smaller smoker.
Yeah, lately my big adventure has been with miso. Miso is a very interesting food product, and miso is a flavor enhancer.
Yes.
And so, you know, it's got that umami. And so I've been experimenting with miso and different things. And it's very interesting. You know, I'd never toyed with it before. And so it's, you know, you put it with this dish and it tastes one way. And then you put it with something that you would, you know, you go, well, would it go with that? And yeah, it does. It actually goes with just about anything.
Fairbanks, we are going to take a commercial break. Listen to our sponsors. We'll be back after these messages.
Hoodoo Brewery. Sure, you grab a cold one after work with your friends and coworkers in the amazing beer garden. Or maybe fill up the growler on the way home. Hoodoo Brewery. Some of the finest beer in all of Alaska, right here in Fairbanks, right in the heart of downtown. Now you can order your beer online at hoodoobrew.com or sign up for a tour of the brewery. Score some cool Hoodoo swag and support your local beer meisters. That's Hoodoo Brewery, a strong supporter of Fairbanks and local events, large and small. Hoodoo is always there with a cold one just for you. Hoodoo Brewery.
At Bobby's Downtown, we are more than a Greek restaurant that offers fine dining. It's our way of life. And we invite you to come in for lunch, dinner, and late night. We are proud to call Fairbanks home, and we love using locally sourced ingredients in our traditional Greek and American dishes. So come in from the cold and warm up at the bar with a heated handrail, and enjoy a glass of wine from the always expanding wine selection. We hope to see you soon at the always non-smoking Bobby's Downtown on the corner of 2nd and Barnett.
It's great to be able to enjoy our favorite local restaurants once again. And you can thank the folks at Quality Sales Food Service. Even during the toughest of times, they were making sure local eateries had the food and supplies needed to keep their businesses open. Quality Sales Food Service, Interior Alaska's number one food supplier, teaming up with Gold Bond Marketing, have allowed them to buy in volume and keep prices low, which helps keep your dinner costs low as well. That's Quality Sales Food Service, the food suppliers for your favorite restaurants. Online at qualitysales.net.
Do you have a little or even a lot of time to share? You can help with the Fairbanks Community Food Bank. Call 45-SHARE and get on the schedule. The Fairbanks Community Food Bank collects and redistributes food through many programs, including food boxes, bone builders, and agency shopping. The Fairbanks Community Food Bank, helping to ensure that no child in the Tanana Valley will go hungry. Call 45-SHARE to volunteer to help now at the Fairbanks Community Food Bank, providing food for hungry people without charge. This message brought to you by the radio station at 529 Fifth Avenue.
And now, back to Fairbanks Foodies on KFAR Radio.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Prusin, studio here with Joni Scobrett. How you doing, Joni?
I'm fabulous.
Was that a good meal?
Yes, it was. It's the best meal that I've had in a long, long time. Yes.
Well, good to hear. But, you know, when I was a kid growing up, the big thing for us was like going to the Dairy Queen or the TikTok drive-in.
The drive-in.
Oh.
I never got to go to the TikTok. Never. I feel that I was somehow cheated.
You were very much cheated.
Yes. I never got to go to the TikTok. I would have thought that would be awesome, you know, radio show being broadcast on the roof with go-go dancers.
Yeah.
And I mean, what more could you want? All the girls with the roller skates, and they would bring you your food.
Or the boots.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'd roll down the window and they'd attach the, you know, whatever you call that thing.
The tray.
The window tray. Yeah.
You didn't roll your window down all the way. You had to leave it up just a little bit.
A little bit,
yes. Yeah.
And, you know, my favorite thing, the kid growing up, was the foot-long hot dog.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
And the french fries. And
you could eat a whole one?
Yeah. I'd make it through. And then you get the chocolate milkshake or the chocolate malt, depending what you wanted. You wanted the malt or the milkshake. And it was just all so good. God, it was good.
You can still have that experience. There's C&J's.
Yeah.
Now, and you can go down to Delta and get the Buffalo Burger.
C&J's, they have been in business operations for about 50 years now. Think about that. You know, the Model Cafe started about 1906 and ended about 1963-64.
Right.
60 years. C&J's Drive-In. Continuous operational.
Do we have another restaurant in this town that's been in business that long? I'm trying to think. I can't think of one.
Yeah, well, you had the Octagon, which became the Velada.
Yeah, but C&J's has always been C&J's, and the model was always the model.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
McDonald's was always McDonald's by different owners and different, you know, so you can't say that.
Well, we can't count that, though. That's franchise. That's not a Fairbanks business.
But I would say, no, you can't. I can't think of one.
That's really, you know, I never thought about that before. But C&J's is like the modern-day model cafe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I go in there once a month. And they have great service. You go in there, and you're going back into the 1950s, the music that they have, the decor that they have.
American graffiti theme.
The tables, the tabletops that they have. And they got great service, clean service, quick service, and good food.
I think Pike's has been around almost that long.
Well, Pike's was a bar. They didn't put in the restaurant there, actually, until... Oh, the late 80s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know, my dad, he put in a kitchen there, but it was not a made-for-order kitchen. You know, he's going to produce food for, you know, taco night.
Lloyd Pike was the president of Igloo 4.
Yeah.
Of the Pioneers of Alaska.
My dad bought it from Lloyd.
Yeah.
And so probably put in the food venue there in about 83 is when he put in the food.
Right after the pipeline.
Yeah. And there is a very fine gentleman by the name of Dennis Phillips, who is an appraiser for the Alaska Department of Natural Resources out there near the airport. And he'd come out there every day and have a beer and have like the burrito in the plastic, whatever. So my dad said, the heck with this. We're going to put in a food venue for Dennis and his friends.
And he'd have a microwave burrito.
Yeah. So at lunch, my dad would have free sandwiches and a soup every lunch. And he had this lady from Mexico, and she made the best soups. My favorite soup in the world was always her. I still remember it, her split pea soup. Oh, my God. And it was like the first and third Thursday of every month. And the second and fourth Thursday was a potato soup. But, oh, I love that soup. God almighty.
You know, you talk about soups, and I know that you like Tony Marsico's cooking. And Tony Marsico put out...
I have his book.
A Year of Soups.
Year of Soups. I have that book.
I have that book, too.
Yeah.
And I haven't found a bad one in there.
No.
Oh, they're all good.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
We have every Sunday, in the winter, we go to my dad's, the kids and I, and we have dinner. And, you know, it's Super Sunday. And I make the soup.
Yeah.
And Tony's book, you know, that's one of my go-tos if I want some inspiration. And I just open it real quick and I look at what he has there in the list of ingredients. And then I close it and I go make it with what I have.
Yeah.
Which may or may not be the same ingredients. But, he was an amazing, amazing cook.
Amazing cook, amazing proprietor.
Yeah. 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 My two older boys worked for him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they washed dishes.
You know, then you had TikTok Drive and you had C&J's, but you also, you know, the original Dairy Queens were drive-ins.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you had Bill's Drive-In on the corner of College Road and Illinois Street.
Well, that goes right hand in hand with the explosion of the availability of car ownership amongst the general population.
Here, yeah.
Because prior to World War II, most people didn't have a car.
When
that was a post-war thing.
When people from 16 to 23 started being able to buy cars.
Mm-hmm.
In Fairbanks, Alaska, they went to drive-ins.
Yes.
And they all liked the car hop. We all liked the car hop. And I still remember one of the Sandland girls, you know, over there at C&J Drive-Ins coming out about 1974. I'm with my brother Dana in his Peterbilt truck, and here comes a beautiful Sandland girl from Taku neighborhood. You know, she's about 3 or 4 years older than me, going, oh, my God. She's actually going to have to say hello to me. That's the way it was.
Your big cheap thrill of the day.
I was like, I have arrived. You know, I'm at a drive. I'm at a TikTok. I'm in a drive-in restaurant, and the hot, you know, lady's coming up to say hello. She's going to be my brother Dana's side taking the order, but I'm here. I'm in the building.
Oh,
I'm
yes.
I'm in the Peterbilt.
Oh yes. Yeah. Well, I think of all those drive-ins, though, the TikTok was the place to be in Fairbanks. That was where all the young people wanted to be.
Yeah.
And some of the older people didn't like what went on there, but if you were under the age of 40, you wanted to be at the TikTok.
Yeah.
And if you were under the age of 30, you were at the TikTok.
And then he had, you know, the one that really established it was the Dairy Queen.
The first franchise.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That was a big deal when it came to town. And Dairy Queen is interesting because Dairy Queen, I don't think that their recipe, it's powdered. It's not. It's really not
I love
real
the soft,
cream.
I love soft ice cream.
But
I love Dairy
their
Queen.
Ice cream has a distinctive flavor.
Yep.
Nobody else has made one like it.
No.
Yes.
And it's still my favorite. To this day, it's still my favorite.
Yes.
Well, you know, whenever I'm in Anchorage, I got to go to the Dairy Queen there. Whenever I'm in the lower 40 and I see a Dairy Queen, I got to go have.
Yeah, we don't have one here.
Yeah.
When I was in the States with my kids, I saw a Dairy Queen. I was in the Midwest, and I mean, I just hit the binders hard, and I took them in there, and they said, "What are we doing?" I said, "You have not lived unless you had one of these."
A few years ago, you know, I was putting in a couple franchises, restaurants, and locations, and one of them was Arby's. And
remember that? They were here, and then they weren't, and yeah, now they're back.
Yeah, I got them back. And everyone's saying, you know, David, bring in Dairy Queen. And I was saying, if I had my druthers, it would be Dairy Queen. But, you know, who can afford to do this?
And remember that when they were on the corner of College and Old Steese?
Yeah.
And right there where the cleaners, VIP cleaners is now. And they had that Arby's there, and they had that one of the first big solariums in Fairbanks. And you could go and sit in that solarium and eat your shredded beef sandwich. Oh, man. Yeah.
Tell me how you really feel. That's funny.
The good old days.
Yeah.
Well, we got good stuff today, too, but we really had some interesting food choices, you know, over the years.
Yeah, you know, and I always go back to pizza.
Uncle's.
Uncle's Pizza.
Uncle's. And my friend Angela told me that it was cut dark in there, and she said it was dark so you couldn't tell if they washed the dishes or not.
Oh, I always thought it was dark because you had sawdust on the floor. You had the old Charlie Chaplin silent movies on.
Yep.
You had the pre-video games. I mean, these were games that were pre-video. And it was a lot of fun. But they had great pizza. They had great pizza.
Great pizza.
And they had, you know, beer in the 64-ounce pitcher.
Well, the trend for restaurants in the 70s was to be dark.
Yeah.
Really dark.
Yeah.
And you put, remember, they would have those teardrop shape glasses on the table, and they were always red, and they had netting on them, and you put the candle in there. Yes, that was the only light. And yeah, they were always kind of cave like.
And then your top end steakhouses, like during the pipeline, was Club 11,
Black Angus.
Mm-hmm. The Sidorakis' Ranch Dinner House.
Oh yes, yes, the Sidorakis
Brothers. Baron Seal.
Yeah.
At the top of the Players Building, you have the Tiki Cove, and the Switzerland.
Yeah. I never got to eat at the Switzerland.
Oh, very good. Very good. And in the basement of the Switzerland, they had a banquet room.
Mm-hmm.
So you could, you know, you had a big party or an event, you could be down there.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, I never got to go eat in that one.
And then you had your lunch counters. That you had the Co-op and Woolworths. And man, at Woolworths, I could get a.
They had that big soda fountain.
Yeah, I sit at the fountain. I have a grilled cheese sandwich, French fries, and a Coca Cola for $2.10.
Yes.
And I give $2.50 with a tip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was 14, 15, 16 years old.
Yes.
And I just love that grilled cheese sandwich.
And you know, going back to the early days, if you left town, You would end up at a roadhouse.
Yeah.
And all the roadhouses had kind of the same fare. You would get flapjacks, sourdough pancakes for breakfast, and you could get beans and bacon. But they also had the stew, and it was always a perpetual stew. Whatever was left over went into the pot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Joni, that's our show for today. Did you enjoy your meal?
I immensely enjoyed
it. It was not humble pie. It was a top shelf.
It was top shelf.
Fairbanks, thank you for joining us. I will see you next week. Have a great weekend, and we will see you next week.
You have been listening to Fairbanks Foodies on 97.5 FM KFAR and 660 AM. Also streaming live at KFARradio.com. To listen to this or any past episodes, go to the archive page on the website. Fairbanks Foodies has been brought to you by Bobby's Downtown, Quality Food Sales, Hoodoo Brewery, and the Fairbanks Community Food Bank. Fairbanks Foodies has been a production of Last Frontier Media Active for KFAR Radio.